My guess is that there's some here that have a bad habit of griping and complaining. I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm just saying that this is something that is common within our human experience. And, you know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, 21 to 21 to 24 about that we need to put off those old habits and let God change the way that we think. I'm going to switch microphones again here, gentlemen. Okay. We're talking about putting on these new habits that God uses to transform us into the person that he's called us to be. And it's not surprising that thankfulness makes the list of spiritual disciplines, as the Word of God is just replete over and over again telling us that God created us to be thankful and to give him back glory. And there's commands and encouragement to be thankful. Now, the goal of these messages is not that you'll just know more. When we talked about applying Scripture, it's not just that you know the Scriptures, because knowing Scripture doesn't necessarily change your life. It is put it into practice, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, that the one that puts it into practice is the one who is the wise person. It's not enough just to be in worship, to attend a worship service, see other people worship, to pray to God, to give your offerings, to give praise to Him. You need to be passionate about that. And in the area of thankfulness, this godly quality that God wants each and every one of us to possess, we have to cultivate it in our life. It won't happen just because we think that it should. And the goal of this message is not that we leave this and say, you know, right, I need to be just a little bit more thankful. Or I need to make sure that I say thanks more. The goal is that you would actually begin to cultivate this area of thankfulness in your life and gratitude to God and to others. And so let's dig into that, of how God is going to change us over time to be more and more like Jesus. Someone once said that gratitude is not only the greatest virtues, but it is the parent of all. And when you think about it, it's hard to be joyful if you're not thankful. It's hard to be at peace if you don't have expressions of thanks in the midst of what is going on in your life. And throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, God calls us to be thankful. In fact, a very familiar psalm is in your sermon notes. And again, you'll want to use the sermon notes as a companion. You're going to want to mark some of these verses in your Bible to go back to them as you cultivate thankfulness in your life. It says in verses 4 and 5, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. In other words, I don't wait for the worship team. I don't wait for the call to worship. When I'm getting ready for church, I have thanksgiving, and part of it is the offering of myself to God, and I have prepared my heart. I say, God, I thank you for the workers. I thank you for the people that are going to greet me. I'm thankful. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord, and I look forward to it. And so you don't wait for people to come upon you and move upon you. You enter with thanksgiving. This is a quality of God's children. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 34:1 in the Living Bible says, I will always thank the Lord. I will never stop praising him. There's a decision of the will. The thanks of God, of my God, is always going to be on my lips. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, here Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is talking about what the believers ought to be doing. And he says, always, you'll see this, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. That's hard, isn't it? To be thankful in all circumstances, to rejoice always. But it says this is God's will for you. And so part of God's plan for your life, this is what we know. You are going to be a thankful person if you belong to Jesus Christ. Now, as we begin to unpack this just a little bit, Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it's in your notes, that godliness with contentment is great gain. I suggest to you that thankful people are contented people. Discontented people are ungrateful. They're not thankful for what's gone. They're frustrated. They're angry. They're disappointed. They're disillusioned. They are depressed. And Paul says, if you're going to have the godly habits, You need to have a thankful spirit in your life, because godliness with contentment, when you, this is one of those keystone habits that when you begin to cultivate thankfulness in your life, you're going to see a number of other positive qualities that are going to come in your life. And listen, here's what we understand about life. It doesn't take much to get people to start griping. It wasn't that long ago that everyone was complaining about how cold it is and is winter ever going to get over with, right? Anybody complain about the heat last week? Did you hear anybody complain about the heat? And I understand it. I understand it. Okay? But it doesn't take that much for us to change our point of view. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Here's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I've learned it. Here's what Paul was telling us. It didn't come naturally. It didn't come instinctively. Just because he decided to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, God just didn't put the mother load of contentment and thankfulness into his life. He got it the same way you and I will get it, through learning. We've got to train ourselves to be godly. You don't have to train yourself to complain, to gripe. And this is true with all of life in this world. If you have a garden, you'll realize that weeds grow in 104 degrees. You don't have to worry about the weeds growing. Everything else around weeds can be dying, and they will grow. And it's the same that is true. Listen, complaining, arguing, disappointment, being depressed will grow in your life if you don't counteract it by cultivating, loosening up the soil of your heart, if you will. Making the soil of your life conducive to growing. And you do that through the biblical quality of thankfulness. When you learn it, you begin to practice thankfulness in your life. And you learn it through the same means that Paul did in learning to be content and thankful, by practicing it by being when you are placed in situations that cut across all our selfishness, our comfort, and our dreams. See, thankfulness requires getting the right perspective, realizing that our vision can often get skewed. It involves setting our mind to the right attitude and to remember to desire the right things. And it is in guarding our heart that is the seat of our emotions and our will to the important things in life. A.W. Tozer wrote, "We can all see God in exceptional things, but it requires the culture of spiritual discipline to see God in every detail." Any of you, when you were growing up, play the game I Spy? I spy with my mind's eye. I think that is a good little thing in the area of thankfulness, to begin asking yourself, what am I thankful for today? What should I be thankful today? What can I be thankful today? Now, if you listen to just and go search gratitude or being thankful, secular studies will show what it'll bring about in your life. But I am telling you that for children of God, this is a distinctive mark in our life, being grateful, being gratitude, because we have something more than our circumstances to be thankful for. And I've determined in life, I want to be a thankful person. In fact, a little over a year ago, we was at Celebrate Recovery, and you know how I like to play with words and so forth, and I was having a conversation with someone, and it just came out of my mouth. I said, I want to live my life in such a way that when people leave my presence, they have reason to say, thank God. And what meant to be a little funny thing, I mean, you can take that two ways, I understand it. What a great way to live your life. That when people leave your presence, they have reason to say, thank God. This is God's will for you. And it's God's will for me. So let's unpack this. How do we become a person who habitually cultivates and incorporates thankfulness in their life? and you set your eyes and you fix your mind and you guard your heart. This is more than just verbalizing thanks. I remember a person in college that I was with, and they praised God about everything. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And sometimes I just wondered how sincere they were. I'm saying this is from coming up within you, where you have a praise that comes forth and a thanks to God because of what he does. And so let me give you two main thoughts in the area of cultivating thankfulness. The first one is this: become a trailblazer in the area of thankfulness. This is God's will for his children. This is a distinctive mark in your life as a child of God. Now, when you look at the word trail, I know that we all know what a trail is, but it really captured my attention because a trail is usually a path, track, or unpaved lane or road. It's off the beaten path. And what God calls us to do is off the beaten path of regular humanity. This is something that is, again, I keep repeating this, it is distinctive for followers of Jesus Christ. It's more than just saying thank you, and it's more than just saying it was my pleasure. It is something that comes from within. And a trailblazer is one that blazes a trail to guide others. The first person to do something or go somewhere who shows that it is also possible for other people. I am praying that some people and their families will say, I will be the trailblazer of thanks in my family. It starts with me. I will lead my family. I will go where others around me are unwilling to go and to be what others refuse to be. Because again, the most thank-filled people in the world should be followers of Jesus Christ. Psalm 107 verses 1 and 2, here's where our thanks begin. It says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Before I get to my circumstances, I look to my God. And I have reason to thank God, for first of all, I serve a good God. His love endures forever. That is the baseline in all my travels. As I carve out the trails in my life, I start with that. My God goes with me, and my God is good. Therefore, because he's good and his love endures forever, look what else it says. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let them tell their stories of thanks. And if you read down that psalm, you'll see of many of the deliverances of God throughout Psalm 107. Look what Psalm 138 says. It's in your notes. Lord, I thank you with all my heart. I sing praises before the armies of angels. I face your temple as I worship, giving thanks to you. Here's what I'm going to, I start with God. For your loving kindness, your faithfulness, and your promises are all backed by the honor of your name. Now, this is what that good God does for us. When I pray to you, you answer me, and you encourage me by giving me strength that I need. Though I'm surrounded by troubles, you will bring me safely through them. You clench your fist against my enemies. Your power will save me. The Lord will work out his plan for my life. And then it goes back to his attributes. For your loving kindness, Lord, continues forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. And thanks and passionate worship go together. As we saw last week around the throne of heaven, the angels and the elders were worshiping God because he was a holy God. He is completely whole, doesn't need us, but he desires to be with us. He is sovereign over all of creation. He is eternal. He never changes. Same yesterday, today, forever. And he is creator. And he can, when he created this world from nothing, and he can make me who he designed me to be, I have reason to praise this God. The next passage of scripture is in Colossians chapter 3. Before we get to verse 15, notice that Colossians chapter 3 says this: since you have been raised with Christ and your life is now hidden in Christ, set your mind on things which are above and not things here on earth. So get your sights right. Get your mind right. Set your sights in your mind. And then it talks about all the old habits to get rid of, your old way of living. Then it talks about, instead, you should put on compassion and clothe yourself with humility and love. And then as it continues to go, these new habits that begin to come in your life, here's what it says: and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. And here it is again: always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as representative of the Lord Jesus. Here it is again, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Charles Spurgeon said, some saints have very short memories. It has been well said that we write our benefits in dust and our injuries in marble. And it is equally true that we generally inscribe our afflictions upon brass, while the records of the deliverances of God are written in water. It ought not so to be. If our memories were more tenacious of the merciful visitations of God, our faith would be strengthened in times of trouble. So as you cut this path, as you go through this trail of leaving behind you thanksgiving in your life and facing whatever is before you, whatever you have to cut out and cut through of thankfulness in your life, you mark the path that you take well. Now, several years ago, I was in Colorado at a minister's event, and Dwight and Katie Carr were there as well. And one of the things that they allowed us, one of the opportunities, is to hike Horn Peak, 13,458 feet up to the summit. And one of the things is that it's very easy to get lost when you're going up the side of the mountain if you don't know where you're going. Well, Dwight and Katie had been there before. They were our guides. They were there, and here's something that they did. They had some little ribbon, and they would tie it to a tree branch, because not only did you have to get where you're going, we had to get back down. And so, and we went up as a group, but we came down separately, and you could, in tandem or so forth, you could see where we were going by the path that they had marked. Listen, when God moves in your way, well, it's one of the reasons we say to write your story down. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell your story, tell their story. You get strength for what lies ahead of you by remembering what God has brought you through in the past. So mark the trail well. And we want to make sure that we mark the merciful visitations of God. Make them evident in our life. Let our children and our grandchildren know in them, because we are trailblazers in the area of thanksgiving. Therefore, there's a couple of things of the will that will come out if you're going to be a trailblazer in the area of thanksgiving. And here's the first one. I will be thankful in life's troubles. It's not open for discussion. I will be thankful. I'm going to be thankful in all circumstances. And so I have a holy resolve that says I will be thankful no matter how my circumstances change. And listen, this will go against the many of our senses, many of our reasoning. Here's what I know. You got problems. I got problems. All God's children got problems, right? But I also know something else if you're a child of God. And here's what Jesus is going to teach us. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is even more true. You got Jesus. I got Jesus. And all God's children have Jesus. Here's what he says. Sondra quoted it today in our worship set, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Notice Jesus starts, you're in me, you will have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. You'll have trials. You'll have tribulation. That is a given. But again, take heart, because I have overcome the world. You have Jesus in your life. What threatens your peace? Trouble, trials, tribulation. In this world, you're going to have them. But even more important is that in this world, you have the abiding presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit that was given to you when you believed in his name. And I remind myself, and I look for God, and I anchor in the truth. That's why James, the half-brother of Jesus, in James chapter 1, starts out his letter this way. Consider it joy when you fall into various trials in your life. Now listen, when you read that, you think, what? What? Because here's something that's going to happen. For you know that when your faith is tested and your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Paul takes the same vein in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Just want to remind you, he was writing this from prison. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. I'm not going to get caught up in all the things going on around me. I'm going to anchor first in what is the most real thing about me, is that I have Christ now in my life and the Lord is near. The Old Testament says something very similar. In Psalm 46, it says, remember, our emphasis here is I will be thankful in life's troubles. Here's what Psalm 46:1 says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of what, church? Trouble. A very present help in time of trouble. God is that refuge and strength. And then it talks about, although the earthquakes and the rivers roar and all this turmoil is going on around you, here's what it says in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Quiet your heart. Rest your soul. Anchor in the God that is with you. So Paul is now going to talk to him about difficulties they're facing. And he says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. How can I do that? Because the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, here it is, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. G.K. Chesterton wrote, when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or whether you take them with gratitude. Be a person that takes them with gratitude. John Bloom wrote that gratitude is the accent of the language of heaven, because there everything is undeserved grace. No creature that basks in the eternal, deep, powerful, satisfying, overflowing joys of heaven will have merited being there. Each will be there solely by the grace of God, and that is why we all sing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. We read that verse last week in Revelation 5:13. But he goes on to write this, but grumbling is the accent of hell's language, because it is how creatures' pride responds to the Creator's decisions to do or to allow something that the creature does not desire. Grumbling scorns God because it elevates our desire and judgments above his. That's why the world is full with so much grumbling. It is ruled by the prince and the power of the air. It is the citizens speak the official language of hell. Grumbling, complaining, griping. And the children should not speak. The children of God should not speak with the accent of hell. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul gives us a glorious teaching that is rich in doctrine and practicality. And in Philippians chapter 2, remember he says in verse 5, have this attitude in yourself which is also in Christ Jesus. That although Jesus existed in the very form of God, he did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped. But he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. And as a servant, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. And just two or three verses later, after that glorious doctrinal truth that changes your life and mine, here's what he says in Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling and complaining. Listen, unthankfulness will stop the work of God in your life. Griping will stop it's not seeing things for how they really are, but resting in who you have with you in the midst of whatever you are facing. In fact, the word gratitude comes to us in the original language. It is Eucharisto. And you might hear the word sometimes communion is called the Eucharist. Eucharistio has two primary Greek words it's derived from. The first one is grace, charis, and the other is joy, charo. And so you have gratitude because your lives have been filled and graced with the presence of God, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. You are filled with him. So when Jesus took the bread and gave thanks, he was saying, I'm giving grace. I'm giving joy. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that everything that happened to me has happened to spread the good news. He was set in his mind. He's in chains. It's not where he wanted to be. But in the midst of that, he praised God, and God brought some incredible things out of his life. In fact, people in the Roman government were saved as a result of this. Here are three things that in the midst of my troubles I can always thank God for. God is present. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Godly character is developed. He will. This is one of the primary ways in which he makes me more and more like Jesus, and God is glorified. And we live as followers of Christ with a defiant gratitude in our life, that no matter what we face in this life, we will continue to set our eyes, our minds, and our hearts upon the God who is with us. But the good news is we're not only going to be thankful in life's troubles. I will be thankful in life's triumphs as well. I will be quick to acknowledge when God gives me success. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-string instrument and a harp. With music is what he ends up saying. Paul writes in Philippians 4:12, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs according to his riches, glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. Let me get to the last point here. What are ways in that which you very practically can cultivate as a child of God thankfulness in your life? Before we share that with you on the slide, let me just mention this. Do you any of you ever face any triggers in life, emotional triggers, that this really makes me angry, or this really makes me sad, or this really gets me frustrated, or this really makes me worry? And as I was thinking about these triggers in our life and God's plan for us to be a thankful people that flowing from within us, here is how we cultivate thankfulness. We establish daily triggers that result in giving thanks. Daily triggers. And in other words, if my triggers can work to the negative, I can harness the power of a trigger and move it to training myself to be godly. And once that thought and that concept came to me, I saw it throughout Scripture. Here's what Paul said, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Sometime, Paul determined in his life, whenever I think of the Philippian church, you know the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to give thanks for him. By the way, he did it for the church at Corinth as well. He often introduced, but he goes, every time I remember you, I give thanks. A couple months ago, some people helped me out on my driveway. Guess what? I drive my driveway every day. And almost every time I go up, I say, God, thank you for the blessing of those families that helped my family just to pave my driveway. I give thanks to God for them. And for God. Have those triggers. You do some things repeatedly over day. And what you do is you begin setting your mind and setting your heart, I'm going to be a person of thanks. And so I'm going to be a person that lives that type of life. Here's another one in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 23:30. It's talking about the Levites, those that ministered before the Lord, the priests. They were there to stand every morning to thank God and praise the Lord. They were to do the same thing in the evening. So God stationed his priest to give thanks every morning and every evening. Well, guess what? The New Testament says, as the children of God, we are a kingdom of priests. So if you know Jesus Christ, you minister before God. And guess what priests are supposed to do? Give thanks to God every morning, every evening. Some of you could set your alarm every morning with a ringtone that will be a trigger that says, I'm going to thank God first thing in the morning. You could do it with brushing your teeth. I'm going to take a common everyday practice that not only helps my dental hygiene and other people around me enjoy that I brush my teeth, but while I brush my teeth, I'm going to think of some things. I'm going to thank God for it because I do it every morning and I do it every night. I'm going to cultivate thankfulness. I'm not just going to have idle time when I just brush my teeth. Guess what? We all eat, and most of us, I think, probably pray before the meal. And isn't it so easy to just say the prayer and go on? But instead, I'm going to just remind myself. I'm going to have a trigger. I don't know what the trigger is for your life, but there are some things that you do on a regular basis that you can harness the power and to say, this is going to get in my spiritual DNA. And it's going to be important to me. And here, look what Paul says. Here's another trigger. Remember when he says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't fret or worry. Guess what? You're going to fret and worry. It's going to come. But here's what Paul says. It's in the Message paraphrase. Instead of worrying, let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. And so what he's saying is, I'm going to use my tendency to worry, to be anxious, as a reminder to pray. And instead of just going with my thoughts and going in the downward thing that's going to take me to a place of depression and discouragement and maybe cause me to lose sleep, I'm going to rest that my God is with me, and I'm going to pray because I know I read an earlier scripture that says, God, I thank you because when I pray, you answer me, and you give me strength when I'm weak, and I'm going to start thanking God for this. And then he goes on to say, you let God know your concerns. Before you, it's too big for you, but it's never too big for God because you know it, and a sense of God's wholeness is coming together for good and will come and settle down you. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. And the only way that Christ becomes the center of your life is if you cultivate thankfulness in your life. Realize what you have. Develop these triggers and then be trigger happy. Go ahead and do it. Cultivate faithfulness. Ingratitude is the accent of the language of hell. And thankfulness is the accent of the language of heaven. Grumbling will forever be the accent of hell. For eternity, people will be griping and complaining in hell. But gratitude will be forever the accent before the throne of God. And it's true in this life as well. You will set a whole flow of activities that will either move you to God or away from Him. Let me just share two more passages of Scripture and then close with a third. So that's three passages of Scripture, okay? Romans chapter 1, Paul's telling us about the terrible effects of sin in our life. And he says God delivered people over to their own devices, basically, in Romans chapter 1. And here's what he says. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God or gave thanks to Him. And when they didn't give thanks to God, a whole lot of other negative things happened in their life. Let's read them. Their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And they claimed to be wise and they actually became fools. And they exchanged the glory of God, the immortal God, for images made to look like a mortal human being, birds and animals and reptiles. And then they went into all sorts of degrading practices. This next passage of Scripture, I would encourage you to read it later this week. And watching and paying attention to what's happening in the world, what's going on in the news. Maybe watch it with your favorite news channel and notice this, but mark this, in the last days, terrible times will happen. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, notice this, ungrateful. They forget the things that are happening. And then it goes on, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Listen, we see this played out every day before us. When people don't acknowledge God and thank Him, a plethora of negative things begin to come into our life. Listen, we are the most medicated culture ever to exist, and it's getting worse and worse. Listen, we have all these things that try to help us feel better. And listen, some of them are good. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm telling you, you can change your life by begin cultivating thankfulness for what you have in Christ Jesus. Because you're not going to be like the people in Timothy. And you're not going to be like the people in Romans chapter 1. You're going to be a trailblazer in the area of thankfulness. And you're going to create triggers in your life to remind you to be thankful for what you have, what God has done, that He's present with you, and what He will do in the future. And you are going to be a person that is described like this. You will always be joyful. You will never stop praying. And you will give thanks in every circumstance, because this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, there's a reason we thank You. Almost just out of repetition, every time we pray, it's a habit. But Lord, You've reminded us today that not just say the words, live the life. Rest in who You are. What You've done for us, Your promises, and everything, whatever troubles come into our life, we know that You are with us through the presence of Your Holy Spirit. You have overcome the world. We take courage. Thankful people move out into this world with strength and confidence. Because as Your word says in Daniel, the people that know their God will display strength and take confidence. We thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.